Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Hey, special message for all the kids watching at home.
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here. This is Wretched Radio. I'll be fine until Jimmy gets back. Until then, are we supposed to do a mailbag without our mailbagger? I'm not sure that actually came out exactly right. The point is, if you send stuff to idea@wretched.org, you can still text 877-282-2337. We'll dive into questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks. Okay, that's typically where Jimmy would jump in. So what am I supposed to do? Do I have to do everything here? I guess so, because Jimmy is still recovering. Keep praying for Jimmy. In the meantime, keep sending stuff to idea@wretched.org. Let us begin in the mailbag. Sharing this somewhat reticently. That's right. I'm reticent. Why? Because I don't want it to come off wrong. I actually intended to be an encouragement. We have so many gospel partners who support this ministry financially. You should know what really happens with what you give to us, that it really does impact real people. So I guess what I'm trying to say is this email is just for you, a gospel partner. Todd, I'm a young Christian guy that goes to a Baptist church next to Heathrow Airport. Comes from an Asian family, he states. I started listening to Todd Friel, that would be I, last year when Fortis Plus really got going. This is for you, gospel partner. Thank you. It has been a blessing to me and my family. I love the fact that, how do I do this without screaming? This is everything I'm about to say now is all caps with an awful lot of exclamation points. I love the fact that everything is free. That is why you need to know, gospel partner. Your giving is appreciated, not just by us here at the ministry, but by those people overseas who can access it. That's exactly what he says in this email. For people outside of America, it's hard to access the paid stuff. And even free gifts other ministries offer that we're not in the U.S., they can't get them. So Fortis has been instrumental. If someone does read this, oh, that's just really sweet. What could I pray about for the ministry? Sweet. I'll tell you. as long as he asked, faithfulness. We just want to stand firm. We don't want to totter. We don't want to wobble. We don't want to fall down. We want to march to the end. When the Lord takes us home, we want to have been faithful to the task at hand. So a prayer for faithfulness, always appreciated. One more note for gospel partners from the email. I've been trying to evangelize at school. Please pray for me. I listened to Witness Wednesday, and it's been helping. However, being one out of two Christians in a 150-student school is a bit hard. I need God's strength. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, I left off a couple O's. Oh, so much for your ministry. God bless. That is for you, gospel partners. That is for you. Thank you for being a gospel partner. This is sent in from Dan. Okay. All right. Now, this is going to sound self-serving. I hope not, because remember, everything is free. So it's really not. I received this from a youth director at a Grace Church. His name is Dan. He writes, Road Trip to Truth, Season 1. It is a hit with our elders and our youth. We broke away 1 year and taught on another topic, and it just didn't seem to hit the mark with our youth. So we returned to Road Trip, and this year we'll be using Road Trip to Truth Season 4, having covered all previous seasons. Yeah, there's 52 episodes. It's so good, and it's so free, and there's a study guide that goes with each one. If you're looking for something for midweek with the students, I got to tell you, you will learn, I believe, more about the hearts of your students because of this particular resource. It allows them to express what they're thinking about the subjects that are being bandied about at school. They are talking about these things that are on social media, and they are trying to sort it. And they, believe me, they do have opinions. And so I just wanted to share this email so that you might be encouraged to go to fortisplus.org. It's free. And you can use all of the episodes. Pick and choose. Let it be like the buffet. You just take whatever you want. Leave behind what you don't. The study guide is also there. He writes this: our students have come to look forward to it, asking in advance what topics will be covered. Even more encouraging are the breakout sessions we have at the conclusion of each topic. Last year, these sessions extended to 45 minutes to an hour after the session. As leaders, we listen to their experiences with certain topics, answering questions, and watching them grow in their faith and love for the Lord. This has helped our students learn about differing views, because we do tackle various religions, and to know what the Bible really does, that it really does have answers to all the important questions in life that they may face on a daily basis. So, if you're looking for something to ignite your youth, go to fortisplus.org. Did I mention it's all free? Hi, Todd and Jimmy. She had to bring up Jimmy. I know that there will be no suffering or sadness in heaven. That is correct. But what if you have a child that doesn't repent and come to saving faith in Christ? Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? Though my husband and I have been faithful in teaching our young adult sons, they are resistant. I keep praying and reminding myself it just hasn't happened yet, but I still wonder, how can I not be sad if I don't see my sons in heaven? It's a thought that breaks my heart now, so I'm struggling with how it will not be broken in heaven. To think that I'll never see them again and will not experience the joy of living eternally with Christ. Mom, we all feel that. Believe me, we all feel that. That's why we want our kids to be saved so badly. We want to see them for eternity. We want them to know the joys of being in heaven with our Savior. However, the question that needs to be asked is, if we're not going to be sad in heaven and our kids aren't with us, how could we possibly not be sad? Well, then one of those two statements needs to be adjusted. Either we're going to be sad in heaven, or we're going to be adjusted. And I don't think God is going to change his program. We need the adjustment, and we'll receive that adjustment. And I don't think that there's any way to state this in a way that ultimately causes a parent on this side of the veil to go, okay, I'm good. Because I don't think on this side of the veil, we're able to grasp that. And here's why. Considering the thought of your very own precious child in hell is so big. And it requires such a high understanding of God's holiness and his righteousness and his justice, and that it is perfectly right that he sends lawbreakers who do not have their sins forgiven to hell. Now, we grasp that, but in a smaller measure here. But the thought of a child going to hell, that requires big measure. And we just don't possess that here. But we will in heaven. When we are in heaven, we'll get it much more fully. And our love for the Lord, our appreciation for his holiness, his righteousness, and his justice will be so much greater even than our love for a child, that we will see the damnation even of a loved one as being just and right and good. We don't have that perspective here. Now, we should be striving to, I don't know that any of us will get there where we have such a grand vision of God and his righteousness that it will be able to overshadow the bigness of our broken hearts, of the thought of our children going to hell. But we will when we are in heaven. We'll get it. We'll fully get it. I know we do get it, but it's only to a degree here. And the problem is to overcome the sadness that we can imagine that we would feel at the damnation of our very own children is such a huge degree. It's so massive that it simply requires that you and I have a grander understanding of God. And you will. Now, one last thing, Mom. You're not responsible for the salvation of your child. You're responsible to be faithful. You're responsible to love them, to teach them about Jesus, to pray for them like nobody's business, to model that you believe Jesus died for your sins. That's your job. Be faithful at that and take yourself off the hook of the salvation of your own children because they are responsible. This is Ezekiel 18. They are responsible for their sins and what they do with the good news of the gospel. So if you have wayward, unbelieving children, don't you worry. God saves plenty of prodigals. But if he doesn't, it's not because you failed. This is Wretched Radio.
You know, you can love the Lord with absolutely everything in you and still go mute when somebody asks you, how do you even know the Bible is true? You feel the answer deep down. You just can't put it into words. The reasons go deeper than most of us were ever even shown. Skeptics know that too. That's why they start in Genesis and then they work backward. Because if you crack the foundation, then everything built on top of it will start to wobble. But when you trace the logic and the morality and the science all the way down, you find the very same thing every single time. Reality only makes sense if the Bible is true. And Dr. Jason Lyle has spent his entire career studying the universe. And in his new series, Irrefutable Proof of Creation, he asks the hard questions about God and turns doubt into confidence. Irrefutable Proof of Creation is streaming right now on Fortis Plus with new episodes dropping every week. Download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
369 million. That's how many people are a part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And if you've never heard of it, that's part of the problem. Maybe you have heard of Jesus culture. Maybe your teenager listens to their worship music. Maybe your church sings their songs on Sunday morning. But you don't know what they actually teach and where it leads. Drunk in the Spirit pulls back the curtain on one of the most destructive forces in Christianity today. Who are these people? What do they believe? And why should it matter to your family and your local church? This isn't fear-mongering, it's education, because you can't guard against something you don't recognize, and this movement has tentacles in places you wouldn't expect. If you care about protecting your family and your church from false teaching that sounds Christ-centered, but it's not, this is essential. Drunk in the Spirit, it is streaming now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these 3 questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please don't abandon me like Jimmy has. This is Wretched Radio. Keep those prayers coming for Jimmy, if you'd be so kind, as he's recuperating from that big back surgery. Well, not that his back is big. The surgery was really, really big. And he's recovering. We'll see when he returns. But in the meantime, please don't abandon me, too. Keep sending stuff to idea@wretched.org. Whenever you see something wretched, it is so appreciated when you send it to idea@wretched.org. And if you want to text questions or comments or, you know, conundrums, maybe snarks, you can do so at 877-282-2337 to the mailbag from Justin. Todd, is there a reason Jesus could not have died a physically painless death? Was it simply his death that paid for our sins, or something more? Really good question. Always need to be careful regarding mathematics. Now, I mean that in every single sphere of your existence. Be careful of math. Be very, very careful of math. But especially when it comes to soteriological math, because we might do bad math, as some people do. I'm remembering a clip from Paul Washer. Can you imagine? He got really passionate about this question. Paul, he gets passionate about everything. Somebody asked him a question about how is it that Jesus could pay for our sins, suffering on the cross for just 3 hours, when we're talking about, you know, millions of people that he saves that should spend eternity in hell. And with the typical passion of Paul Washer, he's like, wait, you don't understand who died here. This was the diamond of heaven. This was the Son of God, fully man, dying on behalf of sinners out of his great love. And so we want to be careful that we don't go, oh, okay, the math, 3 hours, one guy, for the eternity of millions of people, that's bad math. Well, you're forgetting a part of the equation, and that part of the equation is the one who suffered for 3 hours. And there's another part of that equation that is missing that actually I think is the key to answering this question that was sent in by Justin. There was indeed more going on than the lashes, than the beating, than the spitting, than the mocking, than the crucifying. There was the invisible wrath of God being poured out on his Son. It was God pouring out his fury on his only beloved Son, the second person of the Trinity, on behalf of sinners. That is why Jesus was sweating drops of blood. It wasn't just it was bad to be scourged and to be crucified, but Jesus was not a sissy. That is not why he was sweating drops of blood. It was receiving the full fury of God on behalf of those of us who would repent and put our trust in him. And so we need to remember, when it comes to doing soteriological math, it wasn't just the death of Jesus that paid for our sins. It's his suffering and death. You could put it underneath the umbrella of his passion. It wasn't just that he gave up his life. It was that he also suffered as a payment for our sins. That is what was going on the cross. Been watching some videos. I'm still not exactly sure what to do with them. I've been watching videos from Andy's church, and I've been able to find some videos that I have to confess in the different youth groups are better than I thought they would be. Now, there's a lot of juvenile activity going on, but there were some that it's like, okay, all right, they actually used the word sin. They actually used the word sin, and they were getting closer to a gospel presentation. I did notice a couple of things. It was one woman, she was preaching to high schoolers. That's a problem. She was the first one out of all the videos that I've been watching from North Point who actually mentioned that Jesus isn't just the Son of God. That seems to be how they refer to Jesus a lot. He's the Son of God. She was the first one to say he was fully God. Interesting. At any rate, in watching all of these videos, I watched all of the Easter videos, all of the Christmas videos, and they danced around the reason that Jesus died on a cross. And that key component that is missing, that is so crucial, they would describe it in terms of Jesus died so that we could be friends with God again. That our relationship with him wouldn't be broken. And it's missing a massive chunk of information that is so crucial in people understanding the urgency of salvation and why Jesus died on the cross. They don't explain, okay, so are we estranged from God when we're outside of Christ? Yes, yes, we are. Why? Why? Because of, say it with me, little hard if you go to Andy's church, sin. But why? What's the problem with sin? Sin requires a payment. We aren't just not friends with God. We're enemies of God in our mind through wicked works, and his wrath abides upon us. And if we die in our sins, we will receive the wrath of God for eternity that never gets mentioned. It's all about that we can be friends with God. He loves us so much, and that we can be friends with God, and that we can not have to be scared of not being friends with God. Actually, they wouldn't say the word scared because that's too negative. Nothing about being saved. Nothing about being spared from the wrath. Nothing about the justice of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, or why Jesus had to do that. Why was that required? So any thinking kid is going to have so many unanswered questions, which is why it produces so many false converts. We have got to do better at including all of the details of the gospel, and even at a young age. The reason that I'm wrestling with these videos that I was watching at North Point, even for the preschool kids, they just bend over backwards to never say anything about God that paints him as being high, holy, sovereign, righteous, just. It's all about his love. He's our friend. Now, I grant you, in our circles, we probably need to be saying that more, that God is good. But Jesus isn't everybody's friends. He is the friend of sinners who repent and put their trust in him. Then we're friends. Otherwise, we're at war with God. We're not friends with God. But I do believe that in our conservative circles, we probably do need to be telling the kids more that God does love sinners. So when I'm watching these pre-K videos, why not say that? They want to say, because Jesus loves us. How's about by saying Jesus loves us sinners? Why not introduce those concepts to them at a young age? Why not start teaching that now? Instead of just saying Jesus died for us, Jesus died for us sinners. How's about Jesus died for us sinners to save us? How's about Jesus died for us sinners to save us from the wrath of God? Why can't we include that? There was one of the videos, the kids saying, hey, you should believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus. Nothing about repentance, by the way. You should believe in Jesus. You really should. Because doubting Thomas didn't, but when he saw him, he believed in him. And Jesus wants you to believe in him too. Okay, why? And then he actually said, hey, so if you've got questions, you know, what that means and what that actually looks like, then you can stick around for another, like talk to your counselor or something. And then they went on to play music for 9 minutes. Well, why didn't they take the time right there to explain it? We can't shield the truth of the gospel from our children. We can't water it down because we think, oh, you know, that might kind of scare them a little bit. That might make them think that God isn't totally nice. Well, then we need to teach them and explain them that God is nice by punishing sinners. Because that is what justice is. Is it a big concept? Sure. Are they going to get it at a young age? No. But why wouldn't we at least want to use the words? Why do we take those things out to shield them? And I think, and I fear what it does is it gives them the perception that God is just a great big cosmic teddy bear and not the just judge of all the world, not a consuming fire, not one whose face is so set against sin that it required the death of his beloved son to pay for the sins that you and I commit. Why don't we share those things with our kids? And I would say this again, and you can, I know people tend to think this is maybe getting to be a little bit picky, but why does everything have to be delivered so happy slappy? Why does it all have to be so yucks? And I'm good. This was to high schoolers. This dude, he's draws cartoons and he was explaining Jesus. Wasn't the worst presentation I heard, but he said, and so I'm going to tell you about a superhero. Dun, 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 Jesus! Okay, hold on. Why do we have to talk like that? Well, the answer is we don't. And we shouldn't. Let's respect them. Let's honor them. Let's not talk down to them. Let's pull them up and let's share with them all of the glorious truths of the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
It's time for your Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has announced $700 million in new funding to treat drug addiction, mental illness, and homelessness. And he wants to include faith-based organizations in the effort, which previous administrations have discouraged. Kennedy said since 2000, drug-related deaths have claimed more than 1 million American lives. On any given night, more than 770,000 Americans are experiencing homelessness. These challenges are deeply connected. He went on to say, we are proud to encourage our faith communities to be part of the Great American Recovery Initiative. How exactly they will play a role remains to be seen, but one thing for sure is that addicts need a cure for more than drug addiction. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first named storm of the 2026 hurricane season has made landfall. The remnants of Tropical Storm Arthur brought severe flooding to parts of Louisiana on Thursday, now having moved across Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia, dropping massive amounts of rain. Many Midwest and Great Plains states are in the final weeks of what's considered tornado season, when there is the highest probability for tornadoes. And so far, the season has been well below average. In the month of May, there was not a single tornado fatality. Said meteorologist Evan Bentley, that is exceptionally rare. The last time that happened was 2021. A pastor in Amarillo, Texas, is in jail after being busted in a prostitution sting. David A. Ritchie, pastor of Redeemer Christian Church, was arrested after soliciting a prostitute. His employment was immediately terminated by the church. Said one of the church's elders, we are shocked and heartbroken by this news, and we are committed to exercising appropriate accountability. Ephesians 5:5 says, you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And James 3:1 says, teachers will be judged with greater strictness. Pray that this pastor repents and the rest of us may fear that there would not be found in us an evil and unbelieving heart. And finally, Todd Friel made national news after saying on Wretched last week that the design of former President Barack Obama's presidential library in Chicago is anti-Christian and an intentional slight to God. Yahoo News and MSN repeated Friel's comments, and you know what? He twern't wrong. He also said the design is out of a Marxist playbook of deconstructionism. Architecture speaks, Todd said, and this building says, yuck. That's my word, not Todd's. This is Gabriel Hughes filling in for Jimmy Hicks. It has been a pleasure being with you this week for the Fortis News Break, but Todd needs Jimmy back, so I hope you've been praying for his recovery. Download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Go to fortisinstitute.org. Subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app, and until next week, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. And
can I? This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send more love to idea at wretched.org. Feel free to text 877-282-2337. To the mailbag we go. Scumbag. That's actually how it starts. Scumbag, Obama is 1,000 times the man you might ever be. Charlatan, false Christian. Well, I thank you very much for that email, friend. Keep sending them to idea@wretched.org. That was in response, of course, to that Obama video that I had no idea would cause such a kerfuffle. It was a critique of the architectural style of the presidential center, which reflected, I think, the Marxist and the anti-God worldview of Barack Obama. And wow, did we get some love tonight. Wow, did people ever say really nasty stuff. And this, for me, was a good reminder. I need to work on my heart so that I do not respond in kind. It's easy to do that, isn't it? It's easy to find all kinds of things where we could jab and snark and take shots at, which is why there's just, I think, too many Christian websites that look, we can report on what the heathens are doing. Fine. But do we have to paint them like and talk to them the way that they talk about us? I think we can accomplish both things. We can reveal the foolishness of their thinking without being pejorative and without being nasty. Is that easy? No. No, it's not. But we actually want them to feel the love tonight. 877-282-2337, idea@wretched.org. This was an email that was sent in. Hey, here's more encouragement for you if you're a gospel partner. This just thrills my cold conservative heart. This was from Prisoners for Christ. They have something called Pando app, P-A-N-D-O app, for prisoners. And we somehow got connected to this organization and gave them our stuff, our resources, because that's what we do here. We give away our resources, whether it's at Fortis Plus. We don't care what the distribution mechanism is. We just want people to receive stuff that we believe is biblical for them. And this is the email that I received. Season 1 of Transformed has been viewed on Pando app 87,761 times. That's crazy. Transformed. It's about biblical counseling. And the lady who sent us this note said, and we've received feedback from incarcerated individuals that they say, use those video clips to disciple others inside. It's been so impactful. That is so awesome. This was sent in from Kristen. How should I respond to the claim that tithing can be towards anyone or anything the Holy Spirit leads you to give to? It can be a church, a charity, a soul person in need, etc. How would you answer that with that question? And I think the answer is as biblically as possible. I think that we have to build the case that giving to church is the priority, but not the exclusive recipients of our charity. I think that's what the Bible presents, that it is the local church where we should desire to give to them first. Why? And I say this as a parachurch ministry. The local church is a more important ministry for you than a parachurch ministry. I know that sounds like we're shooting ourselves in the foot here, but I think that's the biblical hierarchy. The local church comes first for you. Your local church, by the way, not all of them, not the one down the street, your local church, because that is where you are in a covenanted relationship with other people. That is where you have promised to give your time, your talents, to serve, to use your spiritual gifts, and also to take care of those who deliver the word of God to you on a weekly basis. So I believe that the priority for the believer when it comes to Christian is the local church. So I'll put it this way. You should give to the local church first. You shouldn't give to any other ministry, including this one, until you have. Now, the reason that I say church first is because I believe that that is your covenanted priority. But I do think you can give to others as you are led by the Holy Spirit to do so. Why? Well, we see that type of giving taking place. We see that type of care taking place. Well, we even think, if you will, of the parable of the Good Samaritan, who gave money to take care of the needs of an individual. Now, what about the Macedonian Christians giving for the sake of the suffering saints in Jerusalem? That wasn't their local church, and yet they gave to that. That 2 Corinthians 8:9 is all about the generosity of their heart toward those. So I think biblically, our priority is the church, but that isn't at the exclusion of any other ministry or any other individual as you see fit. But I want to make sure the exclamation point is local church first. Hi, Mr. Friel. I like this email. Hi, Mr. Friel. I've heard you say several times that God tells us to get educated, but I don't find that in the Bible. You know it. You're right. It doesn't say, you know, go to school or get educated or learn your math tables. You're right about that. Yes, he tells us to get wisdom. It sure does. A lot. And plenty of times adjures us, good word, to get knowledge of him and his word. But where can I point my determined to stay uneducated family member to convince him to seek general academic education, not just biblical knowledge? I'm sorry. That kind of made me chuckle. To my determined to stay uneducated family member that he needs to get educated. Well, I want to be careful with this because you're exactly right, Lucinda, that there isn't a Bible verse that says you've got to get your GED or a graduate degree, or anything else for that matter. However, the Bible relentlessly points us toward learning stuff. Education always affirmed. Furthermore, so many of the Proverbs, I think it's broader than just knowledge about God. I think the heart cry of the father in Proverbs is, yes, learn precepts, that is certain, but also learn from my knowledge. And now, that isn't go-to-school type of knowledge, but that's an affirmation that learning stuff is important. So in an instance like this, we need to use the totality of the Bible to come up with what we think is a correct pointing. Because you're right, we don't have a verse that talks about formal education. But what do we see in the Bible? Well, we see that we are made in the image of God, and God knows a bunch of stuff. So if we want to be like God, we should desire to know a bunch of stuff. Again, is that explicit? No. No, it's not. But it is implicit, but I think it's more explicit when it talks about our becoming more like God, to become more sanctified, to become more Christ-like. That requires learning. He's given us minds. Where did curiosity come from? Why do we have memory if it's not to learn? The more we know, furthermore, about how the world works, the more we appreciate God. This is why science was started by Christians. They wanted to think God's thoughts after him. It wasn't just for the sake of coming up with cures to diseases. How does God think? Let's study that. And in doing that, it causes us to appreciate him more. So when we study algebra or trigonometry, it shouldn't just be for the sake of getting a grade. It should be so that we can go, whoa, this is just the tip of the mathematical iceberg that God uses to run the universe. Whoa. He's like way mathematically smart. In other words, the amassing of our knowledge should cause an increase in our appreciation for God himself. I would argue it's part of subduing the earth. In order to do that, in order to beautify the planet, in order to get things under control, what do we need to do? We need to know stuff. I think the more educated we are, the more that we can do that, the more that we can learn about God. This is why Sunday schools were started. This is why Christian education began. This is the parochial system. And really the Lutherans, I think, led the charge in that. Why? They wanted kids to be able to read and write so that they could read the Bible, so that they could know God and understand him more. That requires education. Furthermore, by learning stuff, you can flourish more. You can then make more money and support your church more. We see that education that is always affirmed in the Bible. Musicians that were skilled, those that build the temple, they were skilled. They built the wall that required skills. And so I think the big picture that we get from the Bible is that education is a good thing. Now, does it need to be that you go to a university? And I think the answer to that is no. But we should, and everybody's gifted differently. So we got to be careful that we don't mandate. That's what the government does. You got to learn like this, and you got to learn for this many years. No, but because we're image bearers, we should strive with the gifts that God has given us to learn as much as we can. This is Wretched Radio.
A lot of us got handed a choice we never agreed to. Faith on one side, reason on the other. So when talk turns to fossils or the age of the universe, you kind of feel that knot. You know, you believe God's word, you just can't explain why. But that choice was a setup. The same God who gave us the Bible gave us the universe to study, and truth doesn't argue with itself. The trouble was the assumptions, the ones smuggled in next to the evidence and taught as fact. It's why two people can look at the same fossil and walk away telling two different stories. But you sort the assumptions out and the science sits comfortably beside scripture. That's exactly what In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle is for. He's a PhD astrophysicist who takes the hardest questions in science and makes them clear and biblical. New episodes of In the Beginning heard every Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence. Or on the Fortis Plus app at fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. If you're a man, you're trying to figure out what it actually means to be one, and you've probably noticed, well, the world doesn't make it easy. They say be strong, but not too strong. Lead, but you don't want to be toxic. Look, it's a lot of mixed signals, and after a while, you just stop listening to any of it. And the thing about it is, scripture is not confused. God has a lot to say about what it means to be a man, and Dr. Adam Tyson unpacks that every week on Way of Manhood. Dr. Tyson is a pastor. He's also a professor at the Masters University, and he's one of our Fortis Institute fellows, and he's not interested in cultural trends. He's interested in what the Bible actually says. And if you're an ongoing monthly gospel partner of Fortis Institute, it is your support that helps make content just like this possible. If you've ever been impacted by this ministry, would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out what it would look like in your life to do just that. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. Let's be honest. Most Christian TV makes you want to change the channel. It's either so watered down it says nothing or so weird you're embarrassed someone might walk in while you're watching it. Wretched TV is neither. Hosted by Todd Friel, you get teaching that makes sense, cultural commentary that doesn't tiptoe around the hard stuff, and theology you can actually understand and apply. And hey, here's a bonus. No one's ever going to ask you to put your hands on the screen. Then there's Witness Wednesday. You can see Todd out in the streets talking to actual people about the gospel. This is not scripted at all. You're going to hear the real responses from real people, whether they like what Todd is saying or not. It'll challenge you, and it might make you a little uncomfortable in the best possible way. Wretched TV, it's available right now on Fortis Plus for free. On your smartphone, on your tablet, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Download the app and see what you've been missing.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Seed of the Woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a Savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine Savior born of the seed of woman.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And just one more point for the determined to stay uneducated family member. This is Wretched Radio. Thank you for sending stuff, wretched stuff, to idea@wretched.org or emailing like Lucinda did, talking about a relative who resists education. And I do want to be careful. We want to encourage education, promote education, but not everybody is built to sit at a desk and study from books. But that doesn't let them off the hook of education. Learn your craft. Learn your field. You need that. We're getting educated really is so that we can be better workers and better knowers of God. And that is why, even if, let's just say, you're going into one of the trades and you don't need to learn European history. Okay, I don't know that you need to learn European history, but I do think that the more you can understand the way the world works based on the way that God has designed it, the better off you will be. Furthermore, getting educated more in your craft. So let's say you're in the trade. So you did some discipling. when you work underneath another plumber or another electrician and they, where's Jimmy when I need him? Mentor. No, that's not the word either. Apprentice. You apprentice underneath somebody. Okay, don't stop there. Keep getting better at it. Keep learning. Keep watching videos and keep going to seminars about it so that you can become a better tradesperson. That is why we should learn. But the last thing that I would say to this family member who's resistant is that you're already educated. Maybe it wasn't formal, but you can speak. Perhaps you can read and write. You've already been educated. Do you know how to drive a car? You were educated. Do you know how to make scrambled eggs? You were educated. Do you know how to make a bed? You were educated. So we're this person who's resistant to education, not fully, not totally. They maybe just don't like the idea of going to school. And I don't think we should force anybody to do that. In fact, that's one of my biggest gripes about the government mandated education program. It forces everybody to fit in the same round hole. Well, we got some square pegs. Is it square hole and a round peg? Well, not everybody can learn that way. And I don't think we should make them do that. And I certainly don't think we should medicate them to force them to do that. Let's go back to the mailbag, shall we? This was sent in from Claire. Our church is super healthy in so many ways. One of them is active iron sharpening iron in community groups, hospitality, and men and women reading, talking, hanging, growing together. My husband is in the men's church book study, plus a monthly Spurgeon-esque study. That's a good way to spend some time. He goes out with the guys frequently and has them over to talk. Most of the wives see and appreciate the need for all of this time the men spend together. The sanctification and growth as leaders of their families is so obvious. Godly men make strong husbands and fathers, make better wives and that make better wives and mothers, that make healthier and holier children and homes. Amen to that. That's just an encouraging word. Sir, do you have male friends? Do you spend time with them? Not talking about the game, not playing golf, but talking about being a man, talking about being a godly man, talking about the things of the Lord, talking about, hey, this is what happened in my home. How would you handle something like this? Getting better at being a husband and father. That is indeed time well spent. I've seen with some groups, some churches, they spend too much time doing dude stuff and doing bad dude stuff to boot. But just because there's an imbalance with some churches doesn't mean we should neglect it entirely. It is good for us. I just had that experience. We just did a low country boil on last Sunday night at Alpharetta Bible Church. Man, it was a gas. And it was good eating to boot. And we didn't have a single woman there. Okay, the food was good. It wasn't a dining experience because women weren't there. Because women just make everything nicer, don't they? they just do. If you ever walk into a church event and it is like stripped down, bare bones, it's like, men did this, didn't they? It's pretty, it's nice, it's warm and inviting. The ladies, they were involved. Well, there were no ladies involved in this. The food was great and the fellowship was even better. So if you have not been doing anything like that, sir, an encouragement to do so, you get pulled up by other men. They'll nab you on stuff. And they will, by being around other men, it forces you to make sure that you're maintaining your manliness. And I don't mean that in a worldly way, in a biblical way. It so that you don't fall into the patterns of this world, and that you're constantly reminded what a genuine man looks like, acts like. You can't get that sort of wisdom and knowledge even in a sermon, which is why I know what I just said, even in a sermon, because I think that there's a reason that fellowship is included in the means of growth that are prescribed in Acts chapter 2. Because it seems weird, doesn't it? Here preaching. Study the Bible. Yep, got that, check. Listen to teaching. Be praying together. Yeah, that makes sense. Lord's Supper. Baptisms. Fellowship. Hanging out with other believers. How in the world does that grow us? Well, when we are talking about the things of the Lord, you're getting it in a very organic way. It's not just being presented from the pulpit as a truism. It's down to earth real. This is the kind of the big bang that I always see from biblical counseling. We regularly hear people say, "I just didn't realize this. I've read this verse like 1,000 times. How come I never got this before?" Well, it's because it was never personally applied. That's what fellowship can do. And I've heard some people make probably too big of a deal out of this. And I think we can make too big of a deal out of it. But let's not make it no deal at all. Dude, make sure you got some male friends. Make sure you're at least occasionally, not at the expense of the happiness of your family, but hang out with men, and don't just use it to do sports talk. And you will grow. Idea@wretched.org. That is where this was sent in from. I don't want to say your name wrong. Oh, this IROH. No, Caleb. Wow, I have a greater appreciation for Jimmy than I ever have. This is from Caleb. "I've heard you and others at Fortis Institute emphasize the importance of looking our best on a Sunday service as we worship the Lord, which I appreciate. I like getting dressed up myself on special occasions, candlelight service, etc. However, this has reminded me of churches I grew up in that were very staunch, strict, and starched on the subject." That was kind of a dressing pun, wasn't it, Caleb? Starched on. "Is it possible that in an effort to be in our Sunday best, we have at times either covertly or even overtly slammed the door shut in the face of those who would have gladly taken Christ upon his offer to come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden? I can't help but wonder, what would our nation, yes, even our world, look like if the man in the 5-piece suit clapped arms of greeting and fellowship with a disheveled-looking man, told him we're glad to see him, and that we've got a seat saved just for you, and you asked him to sit right next to you in church?" Caleb, I actually agree with that. The man in the 5-piece suit should do that. And in a good church, a man in a 5-piece, is there a 5-piece suit? What would that be? Pants, a jacket, a vest. What other parts are, is there such a thing as a 5-piece suit? I have so much to learn. That should be his heart and his attitude. And anybody who comes dressed down into different, no, they shouldn't be looked at strangely. That's just not one of those issues that you want to put on the list of, you better be dressed like this or you're not welcome here. That would be outrageous. You better dress like this or you're not saved. So I affirm, you're right, the man should do that. And nobody should ever be made to feel comfortable if they walk into a church and they're not dressed the same way. Having said that, if we moved this, I think the argument is, if everybody's so dressed up, then people won't feel welcomed there. But if we move it into a different context, I don't know that that argument makes much sense. For instance, it's the White House dinner. Well, there might be somebody who can't get dressed up and they would feel probably not the best because you need an invitation. But it's something that's more formal. or going to the orchestra, the symphony. Everybody doesn't say, well, we better dress down, or people who like music that can't dress up won't come to see the music. We dress appropriately. And I would say this, regular church on Sunday, that is a special event. And we reflect that in our clothing. Do we make it a litmus test for salvation? No. Do we make it some sort of a test before people can come into the door? Absolutely not. Is it something that we should be disciplining people over? No, I don't think so. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't make the statement that clothing makes. Clothing speaks. And so I think we should say, I'm dressing my best because I am here for the best. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.